Following Jesus heavenly by day, nothing can harm me when he leads the way. Sunshine or shadow, wonder before, Jesus my Savior is my all in all.
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you. In this world we live, Father, we have a blessed Savior, a precious Lord and Master of our life, a shepherd, a good shepherd, that lead us, Father, by the staff in His hand, probing us to go the right way should we go amiss out of the path, in guiding us along and teaching us all that we need to know to follow the word that you have given him to give to us, Father. We thank you for that precious word of life. We are here today, Lord, gather together, two or three, a few here, a few there, in different places, as the brethren lock in, O Father, to this live streaming. We thank you, Father, for your grace, that we can still have a place and a time of fellowship. Not a place as in a place in a home, but a place as in a place in the holy word of God. Amen. That is why we are gathered. For where would those that come out of Babylon, that came out of Babylon, where do they worship? They worship, Father, in thy word. We thank you, Father, for this. So, Lord, as we gather now, we look into that precious word of life. We pray that, Lord, you help us and keep us, Lord, in the balance of thy word. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I go to continue with the message, well, we are still continuing the message, but there is something that I want to share with you. Because it, you know, our message, the message that we are on now, this series, be prepared for what is coming. And I ask the question, what is coming? So, what are you looking at? So, what is coming? Prepare for what is coming. So, what is coming? Is it the rapture that you're looking at for what is coming? Or the rapture is coming? As I said the last time, and you know, several times, that there are those who say, no, they're going to know, there'll be no rapture until we face the great tribulation. We face the Antichrist. So, they are preparing themselves for the coming Antichrist. So what are you preparing? What are we preparing? Huh? We're not preparing for one particular thing. We are preparing how to be ready for anything or everything that comes our way. Because all that which that is all those things that are coming, in fact not just one, they are just events and things that are preparing us. We are going to face them so that we will be able to discern the hour that we live in, and what to do and be prepared. Alright, so now I'm going to ask you to look at this video. It's just a short video. And it's a video on stupidity. Now I may wonder why. You know, a brother from South Africa sent it to me and he said he was surprised that he came across that. So, and I think that you should look at it and see how true that is regarding stupidity. Okay? Alright, watch it.
In the darkest chapter of German history, during a time when incited mobs threw stones into the windows of innocent shop owners, and women and children were cruelly humiliated in the open, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a young pastor, began to speak publicly against the atrocities that the regime had produced. After years of trying to change people's minds, Dietrich Bonhoeffer came home one evening and his own father had to tell him that two men were waiting in his room to take him away. In prison, Bonhoeffer began to reflect on how his country of poets and thinkers had turned into a collective of cowards, crooks, and criminals. Eventually, he concluded that the root of the problem was not malice, but stupidity. In his famous Letters from Prison, Bonhoeffer argued that stupidity is a more dangerous enemy of the good than malice, because while one may protest against evil, it can be exposed and prevented by the use of force. Against stupidity, we are defenseless. Neither protests nor the use of force accomplish anything here. Reasons fall on deaf ears. Facts that contradict a stupid person's prejudgment simply need not be believed, and when they are irrefutable, they are just pushed aside as inconsequential, as incidental. In all this, the stupid person is self-satisfied and, being easily irritated, becomes dangerous by going on the attack. For that reason, greater caution is called for when dealing with a stupid person than with a malicious one. If we want to know how to get the better of stupidity, we must seek to understand its nature. This much is certain. Stupidity is, in essence, not an intellectual defect, but a moral one. There are human beings who are remarkably agile intellectually, yet stupid, and others who are intellectually dull, yet anything but stupid. The impression one gains is not so much that stupidity is a congenital defect, but that, under certain circumstances, people are made stupid, or rather, they allow this to happen to them. People who live in solitude manifest this defect less frequently than individuals in groups, and so it would seem that stupidity is perhaps less a psychological than a sociological problem. It becomes apparent that every strong upsurge of power, be it of a political or religious nature, infects a large part of humankind with stupidity, almost as if this is a sociological-psychological law where the power of the one needs the stupidity of the other. The process at work here is not that particular human capacities, such as intellect, suddenly fail. Instead, it seems that under the overwhelming impact of rising power, humans are deprived of their inner independence and, more or less consciously, give up an autonomous position. The fact that the stupid person is often stubborn must not blind us from the fact that he is not independent. In conversation with him, one virtually feels that one is dealing not at all with him as a person, but with slogans, catchwords and the like that have taken possession of him. He is under a spell, blinded, misused, and is abused in his very being. Having thus become a mindless tool, the stupid person will also be capable of any evil, incapable of seeing that it is evil. Only an act of liberation, not instruction, can overcome stupidity. Here, we must come to terms with the fact that in most cases, a genuine internal liberation becomes possible only when external liberation has preceded it. Until then, we must abandon all attempts to convince the stupid person.
You can go down, you can go to the YouTube and watch it again if you want to, and think about stupidity. And I think this is a very interesting, presentation, the way that Hoffman, Militant came up with this theory, in which I think it is very true. And people who are stupid always look at catchphrase and, see what people are saying, and then they look at what's out there in the world. And I think that in the world today, as it gets more wicked, more evil, the Bible tells us this is what the world will become. And because of the way that the spirits in the world are moving, people's lives are caught up in it. And they will just hear all the news, the things going on, the catchphrase that is being spoken. Even like my grandson, Adam, when I pick him up every Thursday, he's got a long story to tell me. From the moment I pick him up, his mouth don't stop. You talk, and I talk about what happened in school, what this boy said, what that boy said, and then all the funny words comes out of his mouth. You see, and people just spread all these phrases, the catchword, and whatever news is up there. For example, like what we have, in the world today, with all this news that's come up, and you can't really tell whether they are fake news or not. Is it not true? You know, you just kind of, what? Is it real? Well, let's look into this chart again. I want to just pinpoint something here for your, it's a PDF up. I want you just to, refresh your memory, because we are right at this hour where I believe the final events of God, of mankind, is all going to come to pass. It's all going to be crammed in this particular period of years, few years that I believe that we are looking at. So now we are this seventh church age. I want you to look at this time, the frame that we are in. I'm so glad that I live in this generation. Don't you think so? You're looking forward to it? You know, if we live in the generation of Jesus Christ's first coming, when he was there, you know, we are saying, oh yeah, we saw an American office, right? But which is greater, his first coming or his second coming that we are looking at? Oh, well, people cannot find it hard to decide. Well, the first coming, he came. Yeah, that's a difficult time. But he died to pay for our sin. We will be there and we will see all the things that he would have done. Okay, that is recorded in the Word of God. Yes, that will be a great day. But then the greater day that exists for mankind is this present hour we are living in that is going to bring, usher in his coming and to set up the millennium or his thousand-year reign. Of course, there will be another 7 years of that 70th week of Daniel. But what I'm saying right now is that we see so many of these prophetic visions and utterances by the prophets or things that are recorded in the Bible that are coming to pass in our days. Alright, when we look at the seven church ages, before the seven churches it just started, you know, when the prophet of God, Brother Branham, came with the message, you know, we realize that the Jew was regathered from 1917, the regathering of Israel, until 1948, that Israel became a nation. Well, seal number 5, the fifth seal, we see that, of course, 6 million Jews were killed under Hitler and Eichmann. Okay? And then we know that, of course, seal number 7. Now, I want to say this is that, let me just say something here. You know, I have been asked a lot of questions about this coming, this war in Ukraine. And then I have people sending me links to YouTube of Amin Safadi. Okay? Different ones send me, you know, and they send me, others will send me all kinds of news. Now, the thing is this, that I know that Amin Safadi, he had written several books. And Amin Safadi had written a book, now he's advertising to sell it, called Revealing Revelations. And he said that it's on Amazon and he wants people to buy and order it. You should read it, you should read it. And he's trying to tell, promoting that. Yeah, you know, Amin Safadi has this YouTube channel and he had several hundreds of thousands of followers, subscribers, you know. So everybody wanted to look at him. And to many people, they feel that Amin Safadi knows everything, it seems. And especially when he talks about the news that came out recently, the news that came out, the Russian found the lab in Ukraine, you know, and they said that they have it's a bio lab, there is some, you know, manipulation of viruses and things going on there. And of course, then the news came out from the other side, the West. That's a lie. Russia lied. Russia lied. Russia lied. You know, and so who is lying? Is Russia lying or America lying? Let me tell you, said his father that Amin said this. He said, no, I'm not supporting Russia, you know. I'm not supporting Russia. I'm not pro Russia, things like that, you know. But then let me say this, that I am. I'm pro Russia. I'm pro for what truth is. But I know Russia will come down. And everybody pointed that Russia is the bad one, the bad one, the bad one. Let me say this. What do you mean by bad and what do you mean by good? In the days when China, is China today bad? Well, yeah, it's bad because for Christians, they say that because there are a lot of Christians being persecuted. So China is bad. Okay? Russia. Is Russia today bad? Oh yeah, today, only last 3 weeks ago, because they attacked Ukraine. It's a evil one, they are the aggressor. So that's bad. Right? And what about America? Is America good? You know, think about it. People like to use America is a great country, but you know, you can ask generally. A lot of people say America is a great Satan big nation. Why is the opinion like that? Because why? They are the aggressor. They have been instigating the country. They go everywhere. I was pro-USA. I tell you that. When I was young, yeah, hooray, you know. Until Brother Bam said, nope. We are the one, they are the renegade, not the Indian, not the red Indian. And then my eyes opened. Oh, yeah, that's so true. Huh? They went to every country, conquered, took people slaves back to their own country and made them slaves. Think about it. Look at Uganda today. Is Uganda bad? In the days of Idi Amin, yeah, Idi Amin was bad. What about India today? Is India good or bad? Well, that depends which state you live in. Right? You think when we talk about how good, and you know, for me, as far as I'm concerned, Putin has been trying to, I mean, very patient, you know, he's a good guy. But when you people intrude into it, what can he do? Huh? So when we look at this, I want you just to think about it. Okay? Look at the chart. So we all this event that you see in the chart, they're all crowded around this seventh church age, right at the end, before the 70th week of Daniel starts. We have the binding of the tares already. Now the tares already been bind up in 1948 when the National World Council of Churches started. And they started to bring in all the other churches to be a member of the World Council of Churches. Alright. So now the seventh seal begin there. Now that's why I'm saying that the seventh seal. Now we are not looking at traditional interpretation of the book of Revelation. Right? I'm very well acquainted with the tradition interpretation of the book of Revelation. And remember I told you how the Lord brought me back after my 2 years, you know, when I backslid, the Lord brought me back. And I was still a teenager. You know, school. I was in secondary school. But I spent a whole lot of time reading and studying the Bible. And I understood, at least here we have a good government, a safe nation here. But sooner or later, you know, the world is going to turn around and we don't know what's going to come in the future. Alright. Now, let us go to the book of Luke, chapter 3, verse 17 again. Because having seen what the world is today, we need to be prepared. But the thing, as I said, is what is preparation? And how do we prepare? So just live a good Christian life. Well, what do you mean by live a good Christian life? I mean, I go to church. I give my tithes. I say my prayers. How many of you say prayers? No, I don't say prayers. I pray prayers. You know what I mean by say prayers? A lot of people say prayers, yeah. They don't want to pray. They say, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." They just repeat what Jesus said. That is prayer to them. Saying what Jesus said, then that's it. So, how do we prepare? That's what I'm saying. Get people to understand. Now, I said this, brother and sister, we are very privileged. I can say this. That those who came out of Babylon and come back to the Word of God are the very blessed people. Because when we come back to the Word, our minds are open, this Bible will become a new book. It's not a traditional book anymore. It's a new book. Things that are hidden opens up. And we can understand it. Because God gave the grace and the gift so they can help us to understand. See? So how do we prepare? Now, Luke chapter 3 verse 17. Regarding what we already taught last week. But I want to emphasize this again. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. Whose fan is in his hand? Whose fan is in his hand? What is that fan? Huh? How would Jesus Christ remove the chaff from the wheat? He has to use the word, the fan, to toss it up. And so, knowing that the grain will fall down, but the chaff will be carried about by every wind of doctrines. Now, when we say the fan, it's not the fan as we know. It's a big spade thing. You know, you throw it up into the air. But as I said, Jesus Christ did not blow. He did not fan as in fanning the wind. He's tossing it and let the wind of whatever sort they will come and blow the chaff away. That's what it is. The Bible did not say it about us being prepared by the winds of God's doctrine. No. We are prepared by the Word of God. But it's the wind of every sort that will blow away the chaff. And he will thoroughly purge the floor. What do you mean by thoroughly purge the floor? What is a song said we sing? I think we don't usually sing it. You are standing on holy ground. Where do we stand? The floor. God's word. Remember the angels took, the death angel went over Jerusalem? They were standing above Jerusalem and they're over the threshing floor of honor. And that's where King David bought the place, sacrifice to the Lord. That's the place, the purging of sin, the sacrifice that King David offered. Christ dying outside of that city, Jerusalem. So you see how that we need to be show where we stand. He will thoroughly purge the floor where we stand, using the word of God as a fan. Where do we stand? Are we standing on the word of God? Then he will gather, after that, he will gather the wheat into his garner. But the chaff, he will burn with fire. Now, after so long a time, since the death of Brother Branham is 65, we are here already almost, how many years? I always forget how many years are we now? How many years are we now since the death of Brother Branham is 65? 58, is it 58?
57.
57, yeah. Alright, 57, 58, yeah. That's already past half a century. And those who have been waiting for Brother Branham to resurrect and do the ministry, now their bubble has burst. But not only that, I want to say this. The Bible talks about many people falling away from the faith. Right? The question is that when we talk about the faith, what faith is there? Paul talked about that shall be first a falling away from the faith. Right? So what faith are we talking about? What faith is he talking about? To many people, they will go into history and say, well, you know, when the church started, and there are all these churches scattered throughout Europe and the Middle East, and then the church in Rome fell away from the faith. They will say that. But that is not what the Bible teaches. Huh? Now, when we talk about the falling away of faith, you cannot fall away from the faith. Back then, people already, the history showed that Nicolaitan spirit works, Antichrist spirit were already there. And there were many false prophets all around. Even the day of the apostle, the false prophet, false Christ were already there. Yeah. But we know from the hidden mystery of the Bible, from what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13 regarding the parables. Now, the parables, I want you to look at a parable and I just want to show you something. Alright? The parables, the seven parables of Matthew 13. Now, those seven parables are broken up into four sets. Now, this is teaching, this is how you understand. The seven parables of Matthew 13, they are broken up into four sets. The first three, that is, the parable of the wheat and the tares. Okay, verse 24. The first one is chapter 13, verse 1 onward. But the second one, the parable of the wheat and tares in verse 24 onward. Alright? And the third parable is from verse 31. So you have the parable of the sower himself, the parable of wheat and the tares, and the parable of the mustard seed. Okay, now, these first three parables deals with the germ of life. You know what I mean, a germ of life? Every seed has a germ, right? It deals with the germ of life. In the first parable, the sower for the soul, the form good ground, on wayside, and so on. Of course, you can see that if you don't take root, the germ of life will not bring forth a tree and bear fruits. Okay, so the second one is still deal with seeds, the wheat and the tares, the plant. And then we have the third one, the parable of the mustard seed. Okay, now, the fourth one, and that is verse 33. All by itself, one verse. There. The parable of the leaven. What is leavening? Leavening is corruption. Interestingly, all the first three parables deal with seed means their life. Because we need grain, we need food. And only seeds can grow into plants that can produce fruits or grains. And they sustain our life. The fourth one is leavening. And leavening is corruption. So the first three represent the first three churches. Right? Ephesus, Smyrna, and Pergamos. The fourth one that is lemon is in the fourth church age. That's when the Catholic Church or the Church of Rome will say, start to add a little of what it says right here in verse 33. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole were leavened. He said, the woman Interesting, the Bible used the word woman. They separated the church. And it took this leaven. That means something corrupt. You add into this 3 measures of meal. What is that? And the whole was leaven. What is 3 measures of meal? It is a very basic of salvation. Justification. What is the next one? Sanctification. And Holy Ghost baptism. It's 3 measures of meal. Not Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, no. They already have that nonsense early on. When you start to say, oh, you know, you didn't need to go to the confession box. Or you need to hold a mass. You know those mass things. You know, most of people who are not Catholic don't even know what a mass is, you know. You see. And so it's been said, you know, no money, no mass. So the more money you have higher mass. Things like that. So you have a prayer for you and stuff like that. So it means to say that you don't need to be justified by the blood of Christ. Your father is not a Christian, not a Catholic, so you can hold a mass and pray him out of purgatory. Purgatory is never in the Bible. It was something that was started by the Catholic Church. Before you go to hell, you go to purgatory first. Interesting, huh? Just like we have the Chinese mythology of the 18 gates of hell. You all remember? Huh? 18 gates of hell. You've got to go through all this 18 series of judgment. Where they pull your tongues apart, torture you, pull your limbs apart and whatever, and never die. Then come back to go back, you'll come up and then go to the next court. Huh? 18 gates of hell, 18 courts of hell. So, they started that. So, that was in the year 500, or nearly 680 to 1517. Before Martin Luther came in the fifth church age. And you look at the next parable. Verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a treasure hid in the field, which when a man... he didn't say a woman now. He says a man. When a man have found, he hid, and for joy thereof go and sell all that he have and buy that field. Who is that man? I mean, we can take that and to look into the top into history. That man was Martin Luther. That's right. Well, it can be any man who found it too. But we only use this as to look into the church history. Martin Luther, he found it. He gave it all that up. Came out of the Catholic Church. Hammer a 95 thesis on the Wittenberg Castle. Oh. You know. He give up all the priesthood thing here. Yeah. The fifth and the sixth one is a pearl of great price. And the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goody pearl. And when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all he had and bought it. And this is wisely. Think about it. The first three is about seeds. The first one, the fourth one is corruption, leavening. The fifth and the sixth is about treasures. We'll see. That's about treasure. Pearl. Something of valuable. So after the corruption, the fourth church age and the fifth church age came, you know, fifth church age came, what is his name? Luther, sorry. And Luther came. The corruption now began to die off as he found this treasure. Move on to the sixth. Wesley in the Philadelphia church pearl of great price. In a way, he talked about, he said, pearl. It's not about treasure. It's not a pearl. You know what a pearl is? How about a pearl form? And when people want to buy pearl or even buy it for diamond, they are looking at it for the purity, right? how round the shape is and how pure it is, a pearl of great price. It's not just an ordinary pearl, it's a pearl of great price, it means it must be extremely shining, perfect and round and so on. How the Bible likened unto it. And then the seventh parable, verse 47. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a net that were cast into the sea. And this is talking about the end time. That's why. It's all about the choice of picking up what was in this dragnet. Think how wonderful that really is. But you know, after throughout all this church age, we came to our age, and we have this message that God has given us. Now, we are living last a church age. This separation. We already dealt last week. The tares are separate from the wheat. Good. That's one thing. But now the wheat has to be threshed. You know what I'm saying, right? You know what a tares is, right? When the sow went for the sow, you sow wheat. The wheat is a plant that grows up. And then the enemy came and sowed tares. The sow looks alike when they're young. So let them grow until they harvest. Now the first church age and the last church age. What was sown in the first church all went through the seven churches to the last church age, and which we are in. The tares are burned up. Take it out. Separate it from the wheat. They're all in the stalks. Bind them up. Not the seeds, huh? Not the tares seeds or the tares grain. No. The whole stalk, everything pulled up and bind it for the burning. Then the wheat are taken into the, well, sometimes we call that the garner, but the area anyway where you're supposed to store. But you leave it on the threshing floor, and there the whole wheat is being trashed. 1948, tares are burned. Message came in 53, 56. Calling out for a separation. My. Think about it. God first burn up the tares. Then he wanted to get the wheat in. But the wheat are mixed up in the place where it was together with the tares to begin with. So when you bring all this together, you know, let's say for example, if you plant a plant and a fruit tree, maybe a small fruit tree, and around the fruit tree there is other kind of trees. I mean, everyone is fighting for the little spot of areas of land and taking off the nutrient. And then they are so growing together, what do you think will happen? I would just give you just kind of illustration. There's sort of familiarity, huh? You know what I mean? So there's a reason why I told people, when the people tell me about certain things that happened in the church, with certain minister, when they relate to, I told them that's just something. I said, I always separate myself from those extreme group. Why do I separate from certain people? And don't go too near? Huh? You might get their spirit. That's just what happened in Africa over the issue of polygamy. They get too close to that preacher of Germany. And you get that spirit. So why do you want the tares are bind together? I was in the assemblies of God. I was not there. The assemblies of God said, no, we are not a member of the National Council of Churches. We are not a member of the World Council of Churches. Oh, back in the 60s. News are out there. These are all those, what they call the image of the beast and so on. Yeah. What happened? Today the examiners of God, they are members of the World Council of Churches. They will be. Because the Bible said, they are harlots. Because their mother is the great harlot. Obviously. Like mother, like daughter. So when I came out from the examines of God. You know, when I came out from that darkness tradition, I heard the word that came out. I mean, there's still all the things in my head, right? Obviously. But for them, many of those who came out, they say, oh, just quote Brother Branham, just quote. So they began quoting Brother Branham, he's all getting them, all the quotes of Brother Branham. They don't know the word at all, practically. Huh? When Paul, when Saul became Paul, did Paul overnight know the things? No. God had to take him out to the desert for 3 years or more and ask him to, you know, God had to bash out all those things from him. Because there's a lot of, the mind is always reasoning. They're always reasoning. I know. You know, because of my friend. Came to the message, and then after that, you know, was influenced by the girlfriend who questioned about certain thing. Then he reasoned, he said, go back to the denomination. Let me ask you this question. I don't know whether you have Christian friend that you talk to about the rapture, about the word of God, the truth that you have. Have they ever asked you this question? Like many asked me. Like my friend Peter asked me. Are you saying that all these churches, these Christians out there, they are not going to make the rapture? Except those who accept the message of William Branham. I don't know where you have, because unless you ever talk to people or share with Christian people. Yeah? But let me say this. The Christian out there, many believe they will make the rapture. And I say this, if Christian in denomination believe whatever they want out there in their system can make the rapture, then I shouldn't be here preaching. God shouldn't have sent William Branham. You know? If sanctification is not needed, God would not have sent John Wesley in the first place too. Right? If the Holy Ghost baptism is not important, God in the 20th century would not have poured forth that gift and wake the people up to this Holy Spirit working in their life. Go back to Luther's day and see what they were to talk about the Holy Spirit baptism. Huh? You see, when God works, He knows the people. He doesn't push them with all those truths onto the person overnight. Paul did not know everything. He grows little by little. Brother Branham, he did not know everything. Oh, Brother Gunn, how can you say that? Yeah, not a lot of people out there always tell me that. If Brother Branham knows everything, then we don't need the Bible, because everything is out there in the spoken word book. Huh? Lads of this Nigerian preacher now. He said, Brother Gunn is teaching something that is not in the Bible. Well, he has not yet. He cannot chew on it because why? Well, he still believes in the chief apostle. He said, Brother Abraham, don't teach it. Brother Jackson, don't teach it. No, he caught them. He said, they don't teach it, so Brother Gunn is wrong. Why? Because he doesn't believe that the fivefold ministry that perfect the bride is under the second phase, the voice of the archangel. He said, Brother Abraham never taught that. Brother Jackson never taught that. But I always emphasize something. If scripture makes sense, right, everything must be consistent. Remember? Now, this major preacher fought me with many things. If only that he, I would, if he wanted to have a ear to hear, then would I tell him how that some of those whom he considered chief and messed themselves up. You know. There are things that God has made clear. You know, let me say this. God give gifts unto men. And the giving and calling of God are without repentance. God don't regret it. to give whom you want to give. So let me ask you this question right now. Martin Luther, was he a good man? What kind of man was Martin Luther? Why would God choose him to be a messenger? I mean, we believe him to be a messenger. Not because Bob Graham said so, because the whole thing makes sense. Throughout the church age, you see. The parable itself already show it. The parable of Matthew 13, right? How the thing falls into place. Because there are seven stars in the hand, in the right hand of the Son of God. In the visions shown to John on the Isle of Patmos. God chose him. God chose Paul. What kind of person was Paul? Yeah, he was a rascal, more or less we'll say, because he was a zealot, or we'll say religious zealot, you know, thinking that he had the truth. You know, when people have the truth, they don't persecute. Elect do not persecute the elect. But many people who call themselves elect, they are persecuting another elect. But Luther, how good was a Luther? Even after he was called out, he wanted the Jew to be converted, but the Jew do not accept it. The one that he called them, you know, he was a Jew hater. Yeah, he said, "You are the one that murdered Jesus." He used a lot of very strong, vulgar words, so to speak. Wow. Yeah. You want to do a search, go to search on Wikipedia or search on YouTube. I mean, whatever you can find on the internet. The whole world is full of information now. What? Martin Luther! You see, God, when God used somebody in a certain time frame, God had a purpose for him. To Luther, justification at that hour is so important because the church have gone through darkness in the fourth church age. They mourn, they pray to Mary. They go purgatory, mass, indulgences. Until Martin Luther's eye was open, God used that man. Martin Luther, the church shall live by faith. And he came up. He found the treasures. Treasures! He didn't find sanctification, he just found justification. And that's what's most important. Then John was a king. People are justified, they go around smoking, drinking, and get down and in the bar, they drink until they go into a fight. And they call themselves Christian, this and that. And then Thomas himself was not even converted until he was converted under the preaching of the Moravian church preacher. Upon hearing the exposition on the book of Romans, and John Wesley became a changed man. The Church of England kicked him out. Ha! Yep. Then he said, "The world will become my parish." And that's what he went around in America and started to preach. So, when we look at what's going on, we are living in this time here. There's a lot of trial. I want to say this. When we are in the last church age now, when we have this message, since Bob Graham passed away, 58 years now. What has happened to the many people that follow this message? People who were supposed to be leaders, people who were with Abraham at that time when Abraham was alive. Oh, and people came out after that, maybe in the 60s, 70s. What happened to these people? Many of them have rejected the message. Why did they reject the message? Because they find fault with the discrepancy of Brother Branham. They said that he lied and all these things and that thing. You know. Let me say this. To me, why do people believe in Luther? After all, he was a Jew hater. We shouldn't believe in him, right? No. You know, the thing is this, when you look into the Bible, I always say this many times, preachers tend to stretch the truth a little bit. That's what Jesus did, what Paul did, or we come sort of more like to call it exaggeration a bit. You know. Has not been second, is it not in the law they say, thou shalt not kill? But I say unto you, when you look into a brother and you hate him, you have killed him already. Yeah. And so many other things that Jesus said, you know, it stretched the truth. Because to where we are now, on a higher level, so we do not consider just taking a knife to kill somebody physically, but just to woo him like that. If only I could get him. You know, you have frustrated him in one moment. Oh, you have taken him. If you have a knife, then you probably have to kill him. If looks could kill, yeah, that's what we'll say. Yeah, so Brother Bram many times exaggerated a bit, you know. Yeah, maybe he liked a little bit of that. What is the big issue here? No, if we cannot believe a prophet like that, then it's okay, then you don't believe that. Then you should not believe some of these cases in the Bible, you know, they are just got themselves messed up too. Peter, hypocrite, how can he do that? I mean, you want to pick fault? Only the Bible don't tell you the fault of so many fault of those apostles and prophets, right? Only one or two. But here, in the modern day, we want to pick up many. Because once you know Brother Abraham, you accept the message. Then after a while, you know, you begin to question about the cloud in the sky, you know, about what he said about Ohio Bridge and things like that. So many fell away from the faith. They reject the supernatural doctrine, they reject even the oneness, you know. They're washing their slate clean. In the closing, I want to say something here about this. I was curious, so as I said, one day I just Googled William Branham on the internet to find out what more can people have found out regarding his discrepancy or like whatever, you know, those anti-Branham now. People who were once believer, and because why they are so strong in the courts of Abraham that they don't understand the word that now when they find a little bit here and there, they begin to criticize William Branham. So much so, when I came on that Wikipedia about William Branham, they have expanded the Wikipedia article. And, I start reading all the way down, mentioned some names of ministers today, well-known name. And then, it mentioned about a sect, a sinister sect, whose leader is Paul Schaeffer. And he was a German soldier and who became, later on, after the war, he became a preacher. And when I read the article, he believed William Branham. And the German minister, Ewart Frank, went over to Chile to associate with him in some preaching or some program. Then after the sect was found out that they undermine a lot of things, a lot of young men. They molest young men. I mean the men, not the people, but the founder. They molest young people. And later on the law went after him. He ran away, but he was caught later on. And then news article was in the Wikipedia that states that some of the people or the accomplices of the man ran over to Germany and was kept hidden by Ewart Frank's church. But of course Ewart Frank denied that, so he was in the news. So I found out that there was this movie on Netflix. So if you're not playing, you might want to watch it. It's only the first season, and it's a docu-series. Okay? It's a documentary movie. And it is found on Netflix, Colonia Dignidad. The colony. They make a film, originally 1 hour, 40 minute kind of film, but that is just only partly fiction, you know, based on some true events. But this one is a document series, and how that they started and things like that. So this is the first season. The second season will come out sometime at the end of this year or next year, and they probably trace him all the way to Europe. Now, cults are very dangerous. It is very true when you are on the extreme. And I said this, we are cult. We are cult. What does cult mean? To the people out there in the world, cult means something dangerous. But cult is not always dangerous. Jesus, when he was on earth with his disciples, he was a cult group. He was a cult leader. I talked to this with a Methodist believer who wanted to write an article on me because he was told to by the pharisaical editor in Straits Times back then. He said he didn't know about it. Think about it. I said, you think about it. Was Jesus mainstream when he came? Only 12 disciples? He preached contrary to the mainstream Pharisees, Sadducees, Herodian, scribes' view? Oh yeah, I didn't know about that. I said, then after that, he died, resurrected, the church started, so everybody is in the mainstream. I said, when John Wesley started, was he in the mainstream? I said, you are a Methodist. You have got a few followers. Back then, there was mainstream, and there was no Methodism. Huh? People were probably calling him a cult leader too. Yeah. So you want to call me a cult leader? Yeah, I can call me a cult leader. You see, the ideas of people subjected to what we call stupidity. Isn't it stupid? Yeah, it is stupid because you just hear the word cult out there. It depends on anybody who's not mainstream, they're cult. That's why some people, a lot of people are very afraid to come to the truth. Huh? When Jesus was preaching, the people hear what Jesus had to preach, thousands, right? They ate the bread, they ate the miracle bread, they ate the miracle fish. But how many really believe when he started to preach the truth? The Pharisees were there, the Sadducees were there. They were there always to instigate Rabbi Malek HaChochol. Instigate the people around there. Don't listen to this. This man who called himself a prophet, son of David. We don't know where he was, where he came from. Huh? We heard that he was born a bastard before his father Joseph knew his wife Mary. She was already pregnant with him. All this thing goes around. Oh yeah. You understand what I'm saying? We are living in a world like this. The people are so afraid to understand truth. Yes, I tell the people, I'm a Jesus cult. I'm a Jesus, I'm a word cult. I'm not a Methodist cult, I'm not a Baptist cult, Pentecostal cult. I'm not. I'm a word cult. Because why? I eat the word. I don't eat tradition. I eat the little book that the Bible said that John had taken from the hand of the mighty angel. Are we being prepared? Huh? Or are we mind still, you know, catchphrase is so catchy. As I said, stupidity, you know, stupid people go for catchphrase. Trinity, unity in Trinity. What's it? How they define, you know? Huh? Yeah, they like to catch all this catchy phrase. Right? And you ever wonder sometimes, you know, when Christians are excited about something, they always say, Amen! Hallelujah! You know, they just said it because they want to say it. It's a catchphrase too. No? Brother Bram said. Brother Bram said this, you know, brother, he said this. And they're always killing like that. But one thing, brother and sister, I need to tell you this. Whatever you want to say, say what the Bible says. Huh? Don't say what I say. Don't say what Brother Bram say. Don't say what Paul say. What do you mean, Brother Graham? I'm reading from the Bible. Yeah. If you say what Paul say, quote one verse from Scripture, you can call out, you can quote it out of context. When you say what the word say what God say, you need to understand what this apostle is saying, what the prophet is saying here and there. Do you understand? Yeah. The Worldwide Church of God, British Israelism Group. You know what they believe? That America, England, Australia, Europe, and New Zealand, they are the mighty lost tribe of Israel. They can quote from Scripture, but they are quoting our context. Yeah, but God said to Abraham, I will make you father of many nations. You see? Yeah. So you're father of many nations. You know, and you will conquer the enemy's gate. See, that's what the British Empire go over the world. You know, there was a seaport over every country. Wow, is that how they interpret the scripture? And yet God says, I'll bring you back to your land. Well, is America Israel's land? Is Europe Israel's land? Is Australia Israel's land? Is New Zealand Israel's land? What is God's chosen people's, the land of God's chosen people? The promised land. What is that? America? Australia? New Zealand? England? You see, you can take anything. You can say, you know what you believe. But most important thing, the hidden mysteries of God is not given to anybody. People think it's so easy to interpret scripture. Huh? If you don't have the gift, how do you do it? If I don't have the gift to draw, how much can I draw? You know? Akiani, she can draw because she's so gifted. It's just a person who takes the piano. A child growing up, a toddler. Here some piano being, piano song, and he said, Mommy, I want to buy me a piano. And merely after hearing that note, he can play like that. Huh? After touching a few keys, automatically, he or a little girl, or she or he could play. And then over time, she became a maestro. Without anybody teaching him. Correct. That's a gifted person. But yes, if you like music and you love music, you can learn to play. But you are not as good as the one who is gifted. And so I want to meet the people to understand this. That's why the Bible said, five for me is apostles, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And after this, what you have? Paul said, set the church in order, ordain elders. Then comes the elders. You see. So that's not why people need to understand all these things. Because now we are preparing. I'm going to close in the next 1 minute. We need to prepare. We need to know what is going on, what is coming, and what we are looking at. So that we can be prepared for what we are believing. This is the book that we have to eat. Not say, oh, the war in Russia against Ukraine. It's coming, it's coming. We prepared, it's coming. So every day they watch the YouTube channel, watch this, whatever they can find about what's going to happen. And then one day, as I said, it might be peace for a little while for all we know. And then what? Huh? Because you still have a few years to go. No, Brother Gunn, Christ will come in time. Well, you can hope for that. Because I believe there's still some time out there. We have not finished with our series. We're going to continue and then we'll see how much time we have. Alright, God bless every one of you. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your grace. Let our hearts, Father, rejoice in the Holy Word. And to know the hour we live in, may we walk always with you, Father, in the light of your Word. Guard us, Lord, as we eat thy Word. May we really digest it, Father, not just milk, Word, Lord, but meaty ones, Father. And let our hearts, O Father, rejoice as what comes into our mouth, knowing that it's sweet, but when it gets into our belly, it's going to be bitter. May we be strengthened, O Lord, by that bitterness, to know how to stand on that threshing floor as thou fan, O Father, your grain, so that, Lord, the seed, the wheat, the true wheat, will fall back onto the threshing floor and be gathered into the garden. Father, we thank you now, asking for your blessing in Jesus' name.